Amen. All right. Well, I know it's been a couple weeks, and so you've probably forgotten what we preached a couple weeks ago, but we've been going through this series, I Am a Church Member. This is the last week of that. Next week, we're going to resume our Acts series, which we took a couple months off of, so we're looking forward to getting back into that. But I want to see how good your memory is from a couple weeks ago, so I want to test you and see if you've done what I've asked you to do. So first of all, I want to know, did you bring your Bible with you? If you brought your Bible, wave your Bible. All right, I see some hard copies. I see some phones. All right. Did you bring your Bible with you? That's the first part of that. The second part of that is, did you leave your church preferences and desires at home? All right, if you didn't, you're like Manny. Take your preferences and desires, go put them outside the front doors and come back in, right? Because we learned that following Jesus is not about us. It's about dying to ourselves. Jesus said it's not about getting to the front of the line. It's about putting yourself in the back, right? It's not about me coming to church to say, feed me, feed me, feed me. But instead, we come to say, Lord, I'm here to serve you, and I'm here to serve my church family. And the way that God works, when we come to serve the Lord, we come to serve our church family, then we get filled up. When you come saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, a lot of times you leave empty. But if you come saying, Lord, I'm here to honor you, and church family, I'm here to serve you, that's when the Lord fills us up. That's the way that he designed it to work. So leave your church preferences and desires at home, because we should not, as a church, focus on things that are really trivial. We should focus on the things that are most important. We should focus on the spiritual. And so the second question, the follow-up question is this: did you pray for your pastor and your church leaders? Did you pray for your pastor and church leaders? Have you been praying for your pastor and your church leaders? Because when you're doing that, it benefits you as well. So that your pastor, your church leaders can appropriately care for you in your struggle and through your needs. And what happens when you pray, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm focusing on what matters most. I'm focusing on the spiritual instead of the trivial. If you come in, I want this, I want, I want, I want, and then we're focusing on the trivial when God wants us to focus on the spiritual. He wants us to focus on what's most important. So when you pray for your church family, when you pray for your pastor, when you pray for your church leaders, you're saying, I am choosing to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. I am choosing to be a part of something special. And there's something special about being a part of a church family. And one of the things that is special about a church family is that family, or a church family, is made up of families. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. A church family is made up of families. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but your pastor's family is not perfect. Can you believe it? Now, my wife is pretty darn close to perfect. But she is always right. Or at least that's what she tells me. All right? But we're not perfect. And so there are times where my kids maybe fight a little bit and they're unkind to each other. Sometimes there are times where maybe as a parent I get frustrated, but there are times when I have these conversations with my kid, they're being mean to each other. They're saying words that exactly are not very uplifting or encouraging. And so I'll have to pull them aside and say, guys, this is not how we treat one another. Why? Because we're family. Family loves each other. Family builds up one another. Families encourage each other's. Families stick together. We have each other's back, and what we do is we stick together. It's important for us to stick together. in the important things of life, the big things that we do in life, guess what? As a family, we do together. When we are a family, we go on family vacation, guess what? We bring our whole family. It's a family vacation after all. But that's what we do. Family sticks together. You won't find me going to very many weddings. There are people who do this, and no offense to them, but if I get invited to a wedding and my kids aren't invited, I probably am not coming to the reception. Why? Because my family, we stick together. That's what we do. We stick together. When one of my kids is involved in an activity or an event, guess what? All of us as a family, we go together to cheer them on, right? When we come to church service, we come together as a family. Why? Because our church family is an extension of our family. That's the question I have for you this morning. Do you consider your church family as an extension of your family? Here's a test for you to kind of find out. So I have people come to me time to time, even within our church family, and test yourself in this. When you come to your pastor, you're like, "Pastor, your church, I like when your church does this." Or do you say, "Our church"? If you say your church, you're saying, you know, I like this place I attend. But when you say our church, you're saying this family is an extension of my family. This church family is an extension of my household. Because families are an instrumental part of the church family. Families are an instrumental part of Scripture. We see that throughout Scripture. In fact, there's a familiar passage in Joshua 24, if you have your Bible. Turn with me to Joshua 24, and it's a focus on the family. So I want to go through this passage together, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. So this is Joshua, the leader of Israel, giving a farewell message to the people. God had already brought them into the promised land. They were experiencing all of the blessings of the promised land. But Joshua knew that his time was coming to an end, that he was going to pass away. And so he gives this message to the people of Israel in verse 14, Joshua 24. "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols that your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family," what did he say? "We will serve the Lord." Now, there are a couple of things that I noticed from this passage. One is that you have to choose to serve the Lord. As a family, as a household, you have to determine that we are going to serve the Lord. Now, as I was studying this passage, you know, the English kind of uses the future tense, "we will," like it in the future, we will. But the Hebrew, the original, kind of conveys a different message. It conveys a message that it is an ongoing past, present, and future. Our family identity is we have served the Lord faithfully up to this point. We are serving the Lord now, and we will continue to serve the Lord in the future. This is our family identity. We have chosen and are continuing to choose to serve the Lord. All right? So the first part of that is you have to choose as a household to serve the Lord. The second part of that is there is an intentionality. There is an intentionality within the family to serve the Lord. You have to intentionally lead your family. You have to intentionally lead your household into a way that serves the Lord. To where you say, this is who we are. This is what we do. Yes, Salvation is an individual decision, but it's also a family one. And it's so important, especially I'm going to speak to parents today. You still have kids in your home. It's important that you be intentional in leading your household to serve the Lord. All right? When I was a youth pastor, I would from time to time have parents say, you know what? I just couldn't get my kid up this morning for church. Or they didn't set their alarm. I couldn't get them to set their alarm. All right? You know what my alarm was as a kid? Sunday morning. My mom and dad would come into the room, they would sing songs, and they would beat on a pin with a spoon and say, it's time to get up, we're going to church. That was my alarm. Now, this is not me saying, well, back in the good old days when I grew up. No, but there was an intentionality. You know, I hear some parents say, you know what, but I don't want to force my kid to go to church because then they might not like church. Let me put it this way. Do you ask your kids if they want to brush their teeth? If you know what, I'm not going to have them brush their teeth because they may not like to brush their teeth someday. I'm not going to have my kids wear deodorant because they just may get tired of it and not like deodorant. You know, I'm not going to make my kids take a shower or a bath because they may not like it. Whether they like it or not, you're the parent. You're showing them. You're teaching them good habits. You're teaching them good disciplines. Okay, I'm not going to let my kids stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning on a school night. I'm not going to let my kids drink all that they want of soda or eat all that they want of sweets. Why? Because they're kids and I'm the parent and it is my job to intentionally lead them. Don't let the kids be the leader. As a parent, your job is to lead and to disciple. Ultimately, it will be their decision to follow Jesus, but right now it is your job to show them the way. That's scriptural. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Ephesians 6. Sorry, I'm going through a lot of scriptures this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, bring your children up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. In Deuteronomy 11, the commission is for parents to train their children, to teach them the ways of the Lord. Same thing, Genesis 18, 19, direct them. If you are a parent, you've got kids in your household, your responsibility is, one, to choose that my household is going to serve the Lord, but secondly, to intentionally lead your kids into the way of the Lord. Again, faith is an individual decision, but it's also a family affair. That as for me and my house, I'm going to raise my children up to serve the Lord. When the grandkids come over, I'm going to show them Jesus. We see in Scripture, in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he talks about the faith of Timothy's mother and his grandmother. We read about in Acts the story of Cornelius. We see how Cornelius and his entire family, his entire household, they feared the Lord. In Acts 16, we read about this woman named Lydia, and her entire household were saved and baptized. In Acts 16, we read about a jailer, the same thing with him. Him and his entire household were saved and baptized. In Romans 16, in Acts 18, we read about this couple named Aquila and Priscilla, and this they served together in ministry. Families stuck together. Families stick together. Households stick together. It should be that way within the church as well, where the families make up the church family. And they come together for something beautiful. So how does a family become a healthy church family? You see, because biblical church members help their families become healthy church members. But what does that look like? Very practically speaking, one of the things that you do together as a family to help your family become a healthy church family is to pray for your church family. We talked about the importance of praying for your pastor, your church leaders. Pray for your church family as a whole. One of the things that my family has the privilege of doing is in the evening, we'll do our bedtime devotions with our kid. We'll read scripture. And then we pray for you, our church family. We pray for you, your individual needs that we're aware of. We'll take two or three family members within our church who we know are going through struggles or whatever, and we as a family will pray for you. Okay, pray for your church family together with your family. What you're doing is you're showing your household that your church family is an extension of your family. And we need each other. We need to cover one another in prayer. We need to battle for each other in prayer. So pray together. Okay, a healthy biblical church family, a family that consists of the church or is part of the church family, they pray together. You know what they do? They also worship together. Worship together. One of the things I love, I love coming in the lobby and hanging out before service, and I'll see Zeph, Tori, Kayla, and Kaylee coming in together as a family. They've got their pub table in the lobby. They'll sit down and eat their breakfast. But they come in together as a family. You know, we should come in together as a family, as a household. This not just me coming by myself, and we'll get into a little bit. I know there's some complex situations. But come together with your household. Worship together, pray together for your church family, worship together, and then also serve together. This morning was a beautiful example. I love when our young people serve. They serve with parents or grandparents. This morning we have Jagger, one of our young teen ministry students, out there greeting, coming in and praying at the altar. Little Rosa coming and praying at the altar, right? We had Dayton, who's a seven-year-old, working at the Holy Grounds with John and Danita. You know, taking the money. Dayton was going around with Steve this morning, greeting people. You know, my daughter serves as a greeter once a month. It's an amazing thing when we show and we teach our young people to serve, to be a part of what God wants to do within our church family, because we grow together, and that's part of discipling, that's part of training, it's part of helping them become active, healthy parts of the church family. So biblical church members help their families become healthy church members. You do that by praying for your church family. You do that by worshiping together, by serving together. So the question is, are you helping your family members become healthy church members? Now, again, I realize we have some unique situations. Maybe you come and your spouse doesn't come. I understand that. I've talked with several of you who that's the case. If that's you, I encourage you, don't be discouraged. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 7:16. Paul wrote this. He said, "Don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? Don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you? Now, maybe your spouse serves and loves the Lord. They just don't want to come and be a part of a church family. Regardless, I want you to know that your influence actually matters. It matters. And you can still lead your household through your words. You can still lead your household through your example. You can still lead your household through your invitation. All right? Now, if you're trying to guilt trip them into coming to church, or you're acting like you're more spiritual than them, that's not going to help the situation. Right? But if you lovingly invite them and say, hey, it would mean the world to me if we worship together. Will you come and attend church service with me? Now, they might still say no, but you can plant seeds. Who knows? Continue to pray. Again, you might remember a couple weeks ago, it's not the least I can do is pray. The most you can do is pray. Continue to pray for your spouse. Continue to lead by example with your words, because it just may be your example and your words that eventually leads them to come sit right next to you. Now, maybe you're single. Maybe your spouse has passed away. Maybe you're divorced and you're the only one in your household. Even still, represent your household well. Lead by example. As a part of, as the representative of your household, be faithful to pray for your church family. As the representative of your household, be faithful to worship. As a representative of your household, be faithful to serve in ministry, because you still represent your household, and the church family consists of families, however small or big that family is. But understand, your family is a gift. Your family is a gift from the Lord. So cherish your family and lead your family, lead your household well. You know what else is a gift? Being part of a church family. Being a part of a church family. In the book, Tom Rainer shares a story about Mommy and Johnny. And he said there's two scenarios. The first scenario is Mommy comes to young Johnny and said, Johnny, you need to clean your room. And your room needs to be spotless. It needs to pass the white glove test. We used to have the white glove inspections at college. We had to pass room inspections. And it has to pass the white glove test. Under the bed has to be organized. No clothes falling out of the drawer. You know, there's going to be punishment if you don't get this room spick and span, and it's got to be perfect. So that's one scenario. The second scenario is, Johnny, I have this gift for you. It is the best gift that you will ever open. It is going to be extraordinary, and you are going to look forward to it. You are going to enjoy it. This is the kind of gift that is going to last a lifetime. Now, if you had to ask Johnny which scenario he prefers, common sense, right? You got to understand, we have an opportunity to choose from one of two scenarios as far as being a part of a church family as well. The first one is you can look at it like country club Karen. We talked about country club, where you treat church like, I give my tithes, and now you give me, feed me. It's all about me and my preferences and my desires and what I want. I'm just not being fed, Pastor. It's all about that mentality where you almost come to church, a service with a chip on your shoulder. You almost come with a predetermined negativity to where you're almost looking for things to complain about. That's scenario number one. Or scenario number two is gift thinking Greg, where he comes in. It is Sunday morning. I've been waiting all week to come and be with my church family. He comes in with a smile on his face. He comes in to worship. He lifts his hand during the message. He's like, yes, I'm growing. I'm learning. He finds a place to serve. And he's like, this is awesome. two scenarios. We got to choose which one that we want. Here's the thing, you can choose. Here's the thing, you can choose your attitude. You can change your attitude. Let's look at some scripture, Psalm 100. If you have your Bible, turn quickly with me to Psalm 100, verse 2. Just one line here. Worship the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Now, okay, Lord, I worship you because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm worshiping you, Lord, even though I don't like this song. I worship you, Lord, even though I'm tired. No, when I worship the Lord, I'm worshiping with gladness. I'm choosing to worship with gladness. Ephesians 6:7. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Colossians 3:23 is similar. Work willingly as if serving the Lord. What that says is your choice comes through with your attitude. You're choosing what attitude you serve the Lord with. You choose what attitude you convey as you come and are part of a church family. You can choose to be the one that's all about me, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. This person took my seat. This song is not how I like it. I didn't like what the pastor was preaching today. Or you can say, Lord, I'm here to serve you because you are what it's all about. I'm here to honor you. It's a choice. And here's the thing that happens. When you come in with that mindset, not of what can I get, feed me, but you come in, now I'm here to serve the Lord. When you come in and say, I love my church family, all of a sudden you begin to accept and appreciate all of the blessings that come with being a part of a church family. Psychologists will often tell you, one of the things you're doing, you need to do if you're struggling with depression and all of that, make a list of things to be grateful for. And then you start reading through that list every day. And what does it do? It begins to change your perspective. If you come in to a church service with a chip on your shoulder or being completely self-centered and expecting only to get, then you are going to miss out on all of the amazing things that are right in front of you. You are going to miss out on all of the blessings that come with being a part of a church family. Let's look at some. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, so now you Gentiles, that's all you all people who aren't Jews, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You have a place of belonging as a part of the family of God. That's a blessing. That's a gift. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We read this, encourage each other and build each other up just as you already are doing. When you're part of a church family, you have people to encourage you, to build you up. You ever need those times where you just need somebody to lift you up? All right? Some of you, I know your stories. And the reason you got through hard times is because your church family was standing with you. They were encouraging you. They were praying with you. They were helping you. Why? Because that's what families do. Families stick together. In Hebrews 10, we're told to motivate one another toward love and good works. We help each other do what's right. Positive peer pressure. But we do. We spur one another on to do the right thing, to be people of integrity, to be people of character. We need each other. It's hard sometimes to serve the Lord on an island by yourself. That's why we need each other. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so you can be healed. There's accountability. There's encouragement. There's support. It's a blessing and it's a gift to be a part of a church family, a church community where you're not doing this by yourself. You're not doing this on your own, but we're growing together. That's the way the Lord intended it. For us to pray for one another, for us to worship together, for us to serve alongside of each other. Being a part of a church family is a gift. Biblical church members view being a part of a church family as a gift. As a gift. So do you view being a part of the church family as a gift? Or do you view it as, well, that's just what I'm supposed to do. I need to go to church and get my church time in for the week because I'm a Christian. That's what Christians do. So I'm just going to go sit in my spot, go through the service, and then leave and go out to lunch and be on my way. Do you view it as just a task, something that you do, or do you view being a part of a church family as a gift, something that's special? See, families are special. Church family is special, and it's even more special when the two come together. When the church family is an extension of the family, right? And as families, we're praying for our church family. As families, we're worshiping together. As families, we're serving together. Families and church families are a treasure, and it's a beautiful thing when the two come together. Closing this morning, you know, we often talk about the American dream, right? The American dream, all right, I've got this job that I enjoy, and I've got this home that I can call home, and I've got my family, and I've got my 1.5 pets, and, you know, whatever. I was seeing if you were going to catch that, Lori. We have this thing that we call the American dream. I want you to kind of think of a church member's dream, all right? I want you to picture Sunday morning, and what you do as a household is you come and you worship together. That's the expectation, and I understand sometimes it's messy, but you show one another grace when you can't find the shoes and you're running a little late. But picture that if you're a parent with kids in the house, you as a church family are getting around together, all right? Or picture you and your spouse getting ready and coming together. Or if you're the only person in your household currently, picture you and your friend coming to church together. To where you get around, you come together, you come in the doors of the church building, and you're met by smiling faces, and you receive the warm embrace of a friend. You love people who are here to encourage you, and you come into a worship service, and as a household, you worship the Lord, you lift your hands, you learn together, you see the kids or the grandkids raising their hands. As a family, as a household, you're greeting people as they come in. You're serving together, maybe in kids ministry, or you know that there's a family from the church in need, and so you put together a care package for them, or you make them a meal and take it to their home as a household, as a family. Picture the place where the kids are coming in, and that they know that church isn't where they attend. It's a family to be a part of. Picture that for your household. What would it look like for your household to be be a part of that scenario? And how could you maybe create that environment for somebody else, for your church family? What would that look like? What's your next step for helping make that dream a reality? Again, sometimes we always work with next step. Maybe, again, you've been working on your spouse for years or whatever. What's the next step? Is it a simple invitation? Is it praying for them? Is it showing grace to them? Is it inviting a friend? Is it talking to your grandkids' parents to see if you can pick them up and bring them to church with you? What does that look like? What would that look like for you to help bring that dream into a reality if it's not already? Will you take just a moment with me this morning? And will you close your eyes? Teresa, you can come. Will you just search your heart this morning? Will you ask the Lord, Lord, help me? Will you show me, Lord? Will you show me how to lead my household well? Whatever that looks like, whether it's your kids, your spouse, your grandkids, maybe it's your neighborhood community, if that's your situation that you're in currently. Lord, how can I lead well? How can I lead my household to become healthy church members? To where we pray for our church family, where we worship alongside of our family and our church family, where we find a place to where we serve together, to where we create an environment where the young children growing up and coming up within this church know that they're not just showing up to a church building. They're not just going to a church service, but they are instrumental parts of a church family. You take a moment, Lord, show me. Maybe right now you need to go to battle for your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, your friend that you've been working on. Will you take a moment and just begin praying and interceding for them? Say, Lord, show me how I can lead them well. Lord, show me how I can be an example. Lord, I ask that you would open up their hearts, and Lord, that they would be open to receive. Lord, help us to lead our families well. Perhaps for you this morning, if you don't know the Lord, you need to first choose to serve the Lord. You can't lead your family well into a deeper relationship with the Lord if you don't have that relationship yourself. So if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord, today is your opportunity to do that. The process for doing that is simple. It starts with faith. It starts with believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins and rose again. Then you repent of your sins. You turn away from your sins so that you can follow Jesus' teaching and example with your life. You surrender control of your life to where you're no longer living for you. You live for the Lord. If that's where you're at this morning, you're ready to make that allegiance of faith, will you simply slip up your hand? If you're watching online, will you simply say, that's me? And in your own word, will you just pray a prayer of faith to Jesus? Lord Jesus, I place my faith in you. Please take me and forgive me of my sins and help me to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul and my strength. Lord, help me to lead my household well. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What does this mean for you this morning? What does it mean for you? I can't speak into that. Each family is different. Each situation is different. How is the Lord speaking to you today? What does that mean for you today? I encourage you to think about that. Just a moment, I'm going to give the blessing, and then if you need to go pick up kids or grandkids in the child area, we encourage you to do so, and then we'll come back together for the State of the Church address in about 10 minutes or so. If you need to take a restroom break or whatever, I'm not going to be in the lobby this morning, just so that we can get started with the address. But church family, I love you, and I thank God for you. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. I pray that your lives will be strong in love, be built in love. I pray that you'll have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is. So with the wisdom of God the Father, the love of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, let's lead our families well. Let's lead our households well. Let's change the world by starting with our own homes. Amen.